Amos chapter 6. I'll try to speak slower and louder so everyone can comprehend. What's the word they use? Articulate? Is that what you're supposed to do? Articulate? The only articulation I know is when it's in piece of equipment. It means it goes like this. And I don't know how that means my words are articulated, but anyway. Articulate. Articulate my words. Amos chapter 6. Start verse number 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord thy God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones of that of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall he say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, Have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the safety you give all the buses here this morning and just the folks that came. And Lord, I pray that as we, Sunday before Christmas, Lord, that we would just spend extra time in worship to you and just give you extra today of ourselves. And Lord, thank you for the gift that you've given to us, and thank you for that gift of salvation. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning, help us we look at your word, and as we just look at a warning given to us from the Bible, I pray that as we study this, that we would be helped, Lord, help change my heart, help us just to be more aware of things that are going on around us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in verse number 1, and this is pretty much where we're going to take our text, although the rest of the chapter mostly deals with this. But the Bible says, the very first statement, the Bible says, Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now, everybody knows what easy is, okay? It's the opposite of hard, okay? So, easy is something that's happening if the Bible in Zion, the nation of the Lord, all right? And so, the Bible says, Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now, you know, everyone likes easy things, right? I'm all for easy. If it's I can do something hard, all right, and make X amount of dollars, or I can do something easy and make the same amount of dollars, why wouldn't you do the easy thing, right? So we're all for easy. Our culture today is all about easy. They want to make everything easy. We've got fast everything. Pastor has said before, we live in a microwave generation or a fast food generation. And we do. They've got drive-through everything now. Literally. I mean, you go shop. Well, you don't even have to go drive. You don't even have to go driving. You can sit at your computer and all these stores in Terre Haute and these surrounding areas, they're going out of business because why would you go to the store? You can sit at home and it's shipped to you, shipped right to your door. It's easy. Everything is easy now. Well, there is, you know, like I said, I'm all for easy. I like easy things. But there's also a danger in the easy things. There's a danger in the easy things. And we're going to look at that this morning. But like I said, everything is, you know, we've tried to simplify. And in our efforts to simplify life, many times we've complicated life. I don't know. I hope everyone's read the book that Pastor, a couple years ago, we were doing a book of the, was it month? Book of the month. There was a book called Henry and the Great Society. Henry and the Great Society. And it's a good book. And it's a very thought-provoking book. Because the book starts out and there's this man named Henry and they have basically nothing. The very basic necessities of life that were, you know, that they, you know, they didn't have power and I don't think they had a car. They didn't have a lot of these things, but you know, they were very happy. But then it became to the place where, you know, in the efforts to have convenience and the efforts to have an easier way of living, you know, they wanted to put power in. And then they wanted to, you know, pave their road. But you know, there is a cost of easiness. There is a cost that comes with convenience. Me and brother, I don't remember who we were talking, I was talking to, I think it was Brother Levi. We have our morning discussions on our bus, to and from the bus route. And we were talking about how busy everyone is anymore. You know, we've done all these things to try to make it easier to, so we're not so, you know, well, I can go through the drive-thru and it saves me 5 minutes. But then what we don't think about is, I'm just going to use that as an illustration. Is that okay? All right. Everybody goes through the drive-thru sometimes. You go through the drive-thru and you think, okay, I'm going to go. And you see these on, you know, men that work out a lot of times. I mean, how many guys for lunch break, they go, you know, down the street to a fast food restaurant. That happens a lot. I mean, and some guys do it every lunch break. Okay? Well, it's easy. It's easy. Well, you know, it, at the cost of convenience, you know, they're paying 4 to 5 times as much money as it would if they just spent 10 extra minutes in the morning and made something and brought it with them. Literally. I mean, they're spending a lot of money every, you start crunching the numbers. Let's say a guy spends $10 a day on a meal. 5 days a week, he's spending $50 a week on lunch. Okay? 52 weeks, let's say 50 weeks a year. $2,500 a year went to his lunch. Well, it was easy. But you know that it came at a cost. And we've gotten it into America, into this thought process of, well, it's just easy, but everything has a cost. Everything has a price. And at the cost of easiness, we've sacrificed some of the things in America. And not just in America, we've sacrificed things in our Christianity. Because it's easy. Listen, you know what? And listen, I'm all for it, but it's easy to come to church and sit in a pew. It is. I mean, there is nothing required of you to come sit in a pew. Nothing. I mean, some time, but it makes you feel good. So that's worth the little bit of time that you got that, you know, well, I feel good. I went to church. I'm part of the church. Are you really a part of it? Or are you just, as pastor says, a pew bump? but you know what it is? It's easy. It's easy. But easiness comes at a cost. All right. The Bible says in Amos chapter 6, and a lot of this chapter deals with this, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And one of the questions I want to pose to you this morning is, why are they able to be at ease? Why are they able to be at ease? Because easiness does come at a cost, and it's going to cost these people, and it cost the generation before them. All right, let's jump down to verse number 4. That lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Then God says in verse number 8, the Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob. Wasn't that interesting? I thought, you know, aren't we all supposed to strive for excellence? You know, Daniel had an excellent spirit, and that's a good thing. All right? And I think in our philosophy, especially as Christian Americans, our philosophy is we've got so much. Look how God's blessed us. Okay? Look how God has blessed us when we don't really realize that, is it really the blessing of God? Is it really a blessing of God to have all this stuff? Me and my wife talk about, and I'll just tell you what it is. Insurance, okay? Insurance probably is one of our biggest budget items every month is insurance, okay? Now, I don't know. I'm not a financial advisor. Maybe I shouldn't. And I do shop around and I try to get the cheapest insurance. But you know, you start, what people don't realize is like, well, we've got these things. But when you have a thing, you want to, well, I got to make sure it's protected. So you buy insurance. And they got insurance for everything. I mean, everything. You know, farmers have insurance for their crop. And most of you probably knew that. Farmers have insurance for their crops. And it's become such a thing. And this is, anyway, I'm not going to get off the insurance. I hate insurance. Because we've taken our faith away from God and we've put it in insurance companies. Okay? Now, listen, I'm all for having insurance. I think if you don't have insurance and something bad happens, you know, that's why we have insurance. But there again, you know, I want to, there's a line there. And I want to be careful. I don't want to pass that line with my trust in God. Because, listen, safe, you know, the horse is prepared unto the day of battle, but safety's of the Lord. All right? But we've got all these things, and then we want to buy this insurance. Well, it comes at a cost. Remember, it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And our lives are so, we're so wrapped up in all this stuff, all right? And then you start, man, I got to pay for this, and I got to pay for this, and I got to pay for this. And you got to work so many hours a week to pay for this and this and this and this. And then you're at the end of your week and it's like, well, I don't have any time to give to God. No, where did it all go? Where did it all go? Because you have time, I'm a firm believer in this, and this is true in my life. We have time to do what we want to do. We make time to do what we want to do. Okay? And we do. We make time to do what we want to do. What is easy Christian living? What is easy Christian living? All right, I want to go back. We're going to go back in the Bible, and we're going to go look at the nation of Israel, because Israel was put in the Bible for an example for us, okay? Obviously, they're living in ease right now. They're living on easy street in their life, okay? The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. How do we get where we live an easy Christian life? Now, listen, do we like easy? Yes. But easiness comes at a cost. How do we get to easy Christian living? How does that happen? All right. First of all, it is because the battles that have already been won. The battles that have already been won. Let's go back to, we can go anywhere in the Old Testament. Let's go back to Joshua. All right. We're going to go back to Joshua. And we're just going to look here at the end of Joshua. Sorry, get there myself. Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua chapter 23, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. Now this is good. You know, and I think there's a time in your life when you're just glad to have some rest. And the danger that I'm talking about this morning, quite honestly, is a danger that's more for my generation than it is for your generation. You know why? Because your generation fought the battles. Your generation built these buildings. My generation just takes advantage of it. And it's easy for my generation to just be relaxed. Well, we got nice buildings, we've got nice facilities, everything's paid for. And there is no desire in our hearts to do, why should we do anything more? Because you guys have already fought the battles, okay? You guys have already had all that stuff, and we're going to see this, okay? And like I said, it's dangerous for all of us, but especially my generation. Verse number 2, and Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. And then it goes on and it talks about this. Well, why is my generation able to live in ease? Because the battles that your generation has already fought. You know, you have already, and I know some folks have come later on and whatever, but by and large, and maybe not at this church, but at other places, you've sacrificed so that we can have what we have here today. And I want to stand up here just and publicly thank you. And I know all the glory goes to God. Obviously here, you know who Joshua's given the glory to? It's not the warriors of Israel, okay? But the warriors of Israel are the ones that fought the battles. With God's help, they fought the battles. Now, you know, with God's help, you've been able to build what we have here. But there is still a danger that we don't forget about the battles. We don't forget about the battles. What is another thing that pertains to easy Christian living? Well, it's the battles that are already won. And then it's the land of milk and honey. It's the promised land. You know, there is a reward. There is a reward for serving God. And I believe that God gives a reward for service to him. Okay? And I firmly believe that. Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at verse number 7. What is one of the benefits? Why is it sometimes easy to slip into this easy Christianity? Deuteronomy chapter 8, because of the benefits, because of the blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now, if we stopped right there, it sounds really good. Now, quite honestly, and all I've seen of Israel is pictures. Okay? That's all I've ever seen of Israel. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm partial to the United States of America, but I love America. I mean, you think you read down through all this stuff that God promised, and I'm not in no way putting us where Israel is, but God has blessed us here in America. You look at all this stuff that God promised to the nation of Israel in the land of Israel, and he didn't promise that to us, but by God's grace, we've been given all of this stuff. I mean, natural resources that are amazing. Beauty. Now, everybody says Israel's beautiful. Looks like a big desert to me, quite honestly. And there may be very beautiful parts of it. But, I mean, you look at what God has given us. You know, the breadbasket of the world. And we're able to feed other nations, not just our own nation, but other nations. And God's blessed us. But then look what it says. And we can take that to Christianity. You know, God's blessed us here. Okay? God has blessed us tremendously here. But look at verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, listen to this, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. But Chad, what's going to happen to America? I don't know, but I'm just going to say this morning, America has forgotten where they've got their power from. And what is God, and just what the Bible says, like I said, I know we're not Israel, but Israel is an example to all of us. If God said, okay, you've forgotten, listen, we've got more money, now we got more debt, probably than any other place. So I don't know if money is really a, you know, it's just a number people throw around, okay? But we've got more wealth probably than any other nation in the world, okay? We've got the wealth. We've got the power. We're respected among other nations, but we've forgotten where it came from. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger of living, we live on easy street, okay, in Christianity. And there's a danger of that. What is the danger? The danger becomes from battles. The blessings come from the battles that are won. The blessings come from the land of milk and honey that God's given us. But that's where also the dangers come. Because my generation many times hasn't had to fight for those battles. For the most part, and we have some veterans in here, but a lot of us, we've never had to fight for the freedoms that we have. A veteran's more likely to stand up for his freedom and honor his freedom than the average citizen, because it doesn't mean anything to him. They didn't have to watch their friends die on the battlefield. They didn't have to watch people that they knew in training never come back from the war. Okay? I've never had to watch that. All right? And in the same way in Christianity, many times we forget about the ones that have gave everything. The men that could have had a fortune and have given it all to God. And we forget about them because we forget about the battles that have been fought. The land of milk and honey. You know, you never value things that you don't work for the same way that you value things that you work for. I'm all for giving somebody a helping hand, but it's also good for people to have to work for stuff. All right? It's good for them. Because, the problem, you see some people, and we help bus families a lot, all right? Personally, we try to help a lot of bus families and teenagers. But you know, the problem is sometimes you feed a problem. Well, they just need a help. They need a helping hand. Well, the problem is you know, you buy a kid a new pair of tennis shoes that he didn't, or his folks didn't work for, and he has no value in them. Whereas if he has to work for them, he'll take a little bit better care of them. My kids don't have as many shoes as a lot of bus kids have. I'm not complaining. It's good for them. It's good for a kid to have, you know, have his toes crunched up in his feet sometimes. That's good for him. You know why? Because it makes him value a new pair of shoes a little more. Oh, these are nice. They're actually fit. Hey, you know, it's not always good to just give some. And in Christianity, sometimes, and I'm going to show you this. Go to Judges chapter 3, and I'll keep Judges chapter number 3. I wrote this down. You value that for which you fight. You value that for which you fight. Or you could say you value that for which you work. You realize, do you know, this is one of the things about the lottery. Do you know most people that win the lottery within just a few years are completely broke? Yes, sir. Why? They didn't have to work for it. You know, when I have to go, I was talking about fast food earlier. You know, if we go out, and we do, I'm not saying we don't ever go get something to eat. I'm not against it, okay? But if we go out, you know what goes through my mind, those of you that are still working, is, okay, this costs so many dollars. You know how much, Brother Bob, you know how much time I just spent on that meal? Time of my life that I spent on that meal. You know, and it's like, I just spent an hour of my life on a meal. This is one of my big things against movies. You know, people will go spend, when a movie first comes out, and I've been in houses, they've got racks of movies. And people will go spend $30 on a new movie that just came out. You realize not only did they spend an hour of their life, but then they spend two more hours of their life watching it. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Okay? Plus, you're supporting a completely pagan group of people. But anyway, you value that for which you fight. You value that for which you fight. What is easy Christian living? You forgot the battles. We've got milk and honey without ever working for it. That's what we've got. And let's go to Judges. I tell you chapter 3. I hope I did. Judges chapter number 3. Okay, if you're in Judges 3, look up at verse 23 of chapter 2. It should be right above it. Okay? Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily. Neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, if you remember, we just read a passage where Joshua is about getting ready to die. And he tells them, people, you have to drive out the rest of these people. So when Joshua died, not everybody had been run out of the country. Okay, and Joshua very specifically gave them that command. Now look at verse number 1. Now these are the nations of chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. What is this? This is the next generation. This is the generation that didn't have to fight. Okay? Excuse me. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Now that's interesting. Why did God leave? You know why God, I think, still leaves things that churches have to fight for? Because my generation needs to learn how to fight. My generation, you know why we still need to have building projects? Because my generation needs to learn how to give. My generation needs to learn how to sacrifice. And I think God still has a way of bringing things in that we still have to fight for, that we still have to want, that we still have to desire. So we're not always living, we're not woe to them that live at ease in Zion. All right? So Judges chapter 3, we see that. Look at it down at verse number 4. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Sadly, and this is where we are in Christianity, verse 5 comes right after that. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, and Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives. Have you ever noticed this is a byproduct? That statement right there is the leading of almost any apostasy in the Bible. That one statement. And you think, well, it doesn't matter who our kids marry. Yes, it does. If our kids marry wrong, it takes one generation and everything's done. One generation. If our kids marry, that's why, Pastor, and that's why we teach so hard about staying pure and doing right and marrying right. Because one generation, everything that you spent the last 40 years fighting for and trying to get the land of milk and honey and trying to get the blessings of God is done in one generation. That's why it's so important. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to be their sons. And then it says, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan. You have to bear with me on this one. Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan Rishathaim 8 years. And then from there on, we have all the stories of the judges. Okay? What is that? They got happy with living on easy street in Christianity. They were at ease in Zion. All right? Why? They forgot the battles. They forgot it. They forgot the Lord their God that brought them out. They forgot. They were happy with the land of milk and honey without ever having to work for it. God still brings us battles. Let me say this and we'll be done. Continue to fight. You know the things that we know to hate, that you know to hate, that I know to hate, because of the battles that we have fought, our children many times don't know to hate those to the same degree that you hate them. Okay? That's just a fact. The children of the enemy, listen to this, the children of the enemy are the enemies of my children. Think about that. The children of the enemy are the enemies of my children. What does that mean? Because if my children grow up and we can see it, and their sons and their daughters and their sons and their daughters, well, I'm not having nothing to do. Remember the story? I think it was Jacob. In the Bible had the daughter. I think maybe I have my names wrong. Sorry if I do, because I don't have my notes. But Jacob had a daughter named, was it Dinah? What was the problem there? Did Jacob necessarily like everybody else around there? No, it was Dinah that caused the problem. Okay, it was their children. It was their children. Why is it important that we get rid of all the junk as a first generation? You know, if my generation gets rid of more of the problem, the world, then that means my kids don't have to deal with it. But if I leave one worldly thing, that means my kids have to fight that. Okay? I'm not saying I don't want my kids to fight some things. They need to. But they're going to have plenty of other stuff to fight without me letting people stay there. The child, I wrote this down and I got this in quotation marks, the child of the sin that we fought will be the sin our children fight. Now, I want you to think about that, because I don't know if I worded it properly. You know, we all have these besetting sins. And unless we get rid of these besetting sins, very likely that could be the sin that sometimes our children have to deal with. Okay? The child of the sin that we fought will be the sin our children fought. We gave up generations ago, for instance, generations ago we gave up gender distinction. Gender distinction. What I mean by that ladies are like ladies and that men act like men. And we tried to, you know, during the World Wars, and I understand that there were some things, you know, they River to Ruby and, you know, all these things where they had to go and they, but what they started to do is they started to blend this. Well, that was one generation giving up. Well, that's okay. Okay. But look where we've come to now. Look where we've gotten now. Okay. Because that sin, the child of that sin is the sin that we're having to deal with now. Okay. And we got to be careful about that. Go to Numbers chapter 33. This will be our last place. Incomplete victories. Brother Chad, I've fought my battles. I'm done. I'm tired. Okay, well don't, if there's something else that needs fought, something else that needs to be evicted, let's not leave an incomplete victory. Numbers chapter 33, verse 51. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Look down at verse number 55. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. You know what? It's real annoying to have something in your eye. I got dust in my eye the other day. And, you know, your eyes water, and you're trying to get, you know, everything in life. You realize how much everything in life stops. The most important task of life, just stop when you've got something in your eye. I've got to get this out. I can't see my eye. I'm crying. My eyes are watering. I got to get this out. You can't do much when you got something stuck in your eye. You know what the Bible says? That's the way, if you don't drive all this out and get rid of all this sin, okay, that's what this is going to be for you. It's just not going to leave you until you take care of it. Until you take care of it. What is easy Christian living? Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. It's because we forgot, mostly my generation, we've forgotten the battles that you guys have fought, that you have won. We have gotten content with the land of milk and honey that we haven't had to work for, okay? And let me just say this. You value that for which you work, or you value that for which you fight. You know why some people don't have a heart for Blessed Hope Baptist Church? They haven't had to fight for it. You know why some people get really irritated with bus kids a lot? They've never had to fight for them. They've never had to work for them. You know why you get irritated with a teenager that's doing something stupid that he shouldn't be doing or she shouldn't be doing? Granted, it happens because you didn't have to fight for them. You know, a parent has much more of a heart for their child than the average other person. Okay? Hey, they're still worth fighting for. Don't give up on them. Okay? They are the next generation. But you value that for which you fight for. You know how you can, you know how you can invest in the life of one of these young people? And really, that's like my one question I ask everybody is, if they come up to me and say, Brother Chad, do you know what so-and-so did with the teenagers? And it hasn't happened a whole lot because I do say this quite often. Have you been praying for them? Have you been praying for them? And that has a tendency just to kind of stop. Because you only value that for which you fight for. You know why I love these kids and the bus kids, even the ones that cause problems? Because we've tried to fight for them. We value them. Okay, we've worked for them. You know why it's hard? Well, why do they keep bringing that kid to church? Because he visits him every Saturday and he knows what kind of life he lives. Okay? That's why. That's why. You only value that for which you fight. You only value that for which you work. Let's not get content with just living on easy street. Be willing to fight. This group in here, I was thinking about it this morning. I was talking to Tony Rash this week, and we were talking about the ridiculous law that our church buses are not allowed to use stop devices. If you didn't know that, Mr. Rash is pretty furious about that. I told him that the other day. And you know, really, most people in this in our communities don't know, but our school, our church buses have to are required by law to take off all stop arms, and we're not allowed to use our flashing, our red stop lights like the school buses are. We're not allowed to by law. Okay, we have to take them off. Well, how is a child different on Sunday than on Monday through Friday? It's not about the organization. I don't care what the organization is. It's about the safety of that person. Okay? Anyway. But, you know, why do we value these things? Because we fight for them. Because we fight for them. I don't even know where I was going with that. But I had something in my mind and it went. I got irritated, so it went away. All right. We got to go. Everybody's waiting on us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. God, thank you for the folks in this room. Lord, that have fought for the opportunity for even me to stand here, that fought for me when I was growing up. And God, I thank you for them. Thank you for their compassion. God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to never quit fighting. Help us to always value that for which we've worked. And Lord, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the freedoms that you've given us. But God, I pray that we wouldn't take them for granted. I pray that we would use them and be thankful for them. In Jesus' name, amen.